This is Livonia Mallory of 105.3 FM, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, WOOC. I am once again starting another segment of Drop the Mic. Today, I have a very special guest, Baylor University Professor Robert F. Darden. He is the founder and force behind the Black Gospel Music Restoration Project, known as BGMRP, the world's largest initiative to identify, acquire, digitize, and categorize and make available the nation's fastest vanishing vinyl legacy from gospel music's golden age of 1945 to 1970. The Black Gospel Music Restoration Project has provided music to the Smithsonian's new National Museum for African American History and Culture in Washington, D.C. Dr. Darden's work has been featured on Fresh Air with Terry Gross, NPR, BBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, Australian Broadcasting Corporation, and literally hundreds of radio shows, TV, magazines, and newspaper interviews have covered his work. He is the author of books including People Get Ready, A New History of Black Gospel Music, Nothing But Love in God's Waters, Volume 1, Black Sacred Music from the Civil War to the Civil Rights Movement, and many other books. Thank you, Professor Robert Darden, for joining us on 105.3 FM, The Sanctuary.
My pleasure.
So, Doc, you've got to tell me, how is it that you started working or discovered something as niche as Black gospel music?
Well, I grew up in the United States Air Force, which was integrated with its founding. And I was in and out of the houses of my African-American friends from a very early age. And this was the music that was playing. And I guess it became the soundtrack of my life, along with soul and rhythm and blues. And as I got older, I began writing about it as a musician and then a journalist. I became the first gospel music editor for Billboard magazine in New York. And then when I moved into academia, my first book, the book that got me tenure, was People Get Ready, A New History of Black Gospel Music. I'd written about 20 books before that, but this was the one I've been wanting to write, and it wasn't until I got into academia that I had the time and resources to tackle something so ambitious.
So what was it about this book that was so groundbreaking? First of all, you got tenure behind it. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
That's what's scary about this, Livonia. That was 2005 or so, and there had never been a chronological ethnomusicological history of gospel music from the spirituals through the modern time. There have been some wonderful books on different segments of that history, and a few on different artists, but there had never been a book that had tried to put it in a chronology where the influence of one group of artists influenced the next right up and through the modern day. The problem was that I would be writing about artists and songs that changed American popular music, artists that are the foundation of American popular music, and yet at the time, I couldn't hear the music. It was unavailable through love or money. So I got angry, and in my arrogance, I wrote an editorial and sent it to the New York Times, which gets about 800 a week, they tell me. And they ran it on Valentine's Day, 2005. And what it said was, if we allow this music around the golden age to disappear, the music that is both the history and the chronicle of not just a revolution, but an entire people group who had very few other outlets for their voices, that future generations were going to judge us very, very harshly. And when it ran the following morning, a gentleman in New York, Mr. Charles Royce, who is a multimillionaire investor, said, "You figure out how to save it and I'll pay for it." And so I met with the Baylor University Libraries, because I don't trust anybody else in academia hardly. And we met and came up with a design for what would be and is still the finest digitization lab in the world that could take vinyl, no matter how degraded or how beat up, and turn it into a exquisite digital file. And that started in 2006 with a grant from Mr. Royce of $350,000. And it continues today. And last month, we passed our 14,000th piece of music or sheet music that we have digitized.
So, I mean, for you to say that the world would judge us harshly if we let this music fade into the past, never to be heard again. What is it about gospel music that makes you so passionate? What's so special about gospel music or sacred music? Why gospel?
Well, as you would imagine, being Billboard music editor and the various books I've done on the topic have taken me around the country, going to dozens, maybe hundreds of black churches and concerts, talking to hundreds and hundreds of gospel artists and civil rights heroes. And the one thing that I've discovered about gospel, beyond its seminal role along with the spirituals as that foundation for all popular music, is I've never heard a bad gospel concert. That if you're going to sing gospel and you're that talented, which means you're probably talented enough to sing in the secular world if you wanted to, but if you feel called to sing, that your singing is a ministry, then you're going to give the best performance you know how to give, whether it's an audience of 10 in a little storefront church in Chicago or 10,000 people in Atlanta, because that call means there might be just one person that you have been instructed by the Holy Spirit to sing to. And most of the Pentecostal, Church of God in Christ, Baptist musicians that I've talked to really, really don't want to tick off the Holy Spirit.
I guess not. That's true.
Whereas I've been to many rock and roll concerts, many country concerts, and my guys as a music critic, where I could tell the artist was just going through the motions. They were doing it because there was a paycheck at the end. And I have yet to have that experience in a gospel concert.
In your opinion, what is, well, let me put it this way. You've talked about 14,000 songs.
Yes, ma'am.
Digitized? 14,000. Oh, out of that 14,000, which one really just gets your juices flowing? When you think of it, you know, gives you goosebumps, the hair stand up on the back of your neck. Which one? Is there one?
There's a several that can get the hair standing up on the back of my neck. There's a very rare live recording by the Spirit of Memphis Quartet called Lord Jesus that I'm just sure that's in a supernatural setting. I can just tell by the audience falling out all around Jet Bledsoe. But the one that I play when I talk is one by a group called the Mighty Wonders of Owasco, Maryland, a little fly speck on the map southeast of Washington, D.C. And this was a group in the late 60s made up of some friends who went in their little church and paid one of those vanity recording studios to send out a small truck with a microphone. And they sang two songs. And they paid them $50, and they had about 25 copies. And 50 years later, we have one of only two known copies. One of them showed up on eBay last year. The band didn't, the surviving members didn't have one. And when I heard it, I broke into tears, which for an old 64-year-old guy doesn't happen often if it doesn't involve grandkids. And it's called The Old Ship of Zion. And I spent several years trying to track down the members of the Mighty Wonders. I mean, we even went to census records and just couldn't do it. And during the middle of all that, the new National Museum of African American History and Culture, henceforth called NEMAC for time reasons, asked us to provide the gospel music for the new museum. And they asked me to narrow it down to about 1,000 songs, both for historic and musical and every reason. And as it got closer, they said that was too many. So they asked me to narrow it again. And that took months and months. But I sent several hundred of what I thought were the most important gospel songs to them. So the week before it opened, they invited my wife and I to the sneak preview for all the donors. And we thought it was going to be the money donors, but in fact, it turned out to be the people who had donated artifacts. So for an entire evening, I got to hang out with the heroes of the civil rights movement, and education, and military, and sports, and everything else about African-American life in this country. And finally, I made my way up to the music wing, and in the corner is the big table where the gospel music is and where some of our albums and a fake record store is set up where you can thumb through gospel LPs. And on that table where you could touch a song and it would blow up Big Image and touch it again and the music would fill the hall was an Andre Crouch and a Mahalia Jackson and a Aretha Franklin and a Clara Ward and Nothing But Love and God's Water, O Ship of Zion by the Mighty Wonders of Owasco, Maryland. They had heard the same thing I had heard. Found out after that happened, and I did an interview for NPR, one of the members, one of the three remaining members called me and said he heard that their music was being preserved. And I apologized to him. And I said, I'm sorry the other members were not there to hear it. And he told me something that I never forgot. He said, Professor Darden, I don't know what your religion believes, but in my religion, we believe in a cloud of witnesses. And I believe every time that song is played in the NEMAC that the other members who have gone on to be with Jesus hear it again. And now we know why we sang that in 1968, in a time of terrible repression in the civil rights movement in that part of Maryland. And I came to find out that that part of Maryland had been liberated by the Union forces in 1862. And the plantation owners, rather than free their slaves, had slaughtered them in the fields. So the blood just cried out from the ground. And yet those men had gone in the studio and sang a song that said, there's nothing but love in God's water. Get on board, black or white. You want to be with Jesus. And that song remains the one that I close every talk with. You can go, by the way, we've loaded a few of the songs on iTunes U, the letter U, the iTunes free site for universities. And you can hear O Ship of Zion there. It's the only place you can hear it except for our webpage.
This is the Old Ship of Zion from the Baylor University Black Gospel Music Restoration Project. Administered by Dr. Robert F. Darden. Go to our website and our SoundCloud so you can get links to Baylor University Black Gospel Music Restoration Project.
Nothing but love.